Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Broadcasting from the Shaw's Star Market Studios, the home of Dale and Keith, middays 10 to 2. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston, a radio.com sports station.
I think Justin Fields is the guy who could fall because Trey Lance is going to blow people away with his intellect, his football intellect, and his preparation. Mac Jones, I don't love Mac Jones, but you know, I think there is something there with Carolina at 8. And then Zach Wilson, I think the Jets are kind of starting to lock in on Zach Wilson as the second quarterback. So if you do the math on that, you know, it could lead to a player like Justin Fields slipping a little bit. And if that happens, New England may get a little froggy and jump up a couple spots.
Okay, Wiggy, that's Lance Zierlein on Dale and Keith Friday saying that your guy may be available at 15. That's good news.
I'll take it. I mean, there's a few of the NFL expert mock drafts out there where I've seen the Patriots, you know, getting that quarterback. I like the Justin Fields, but the Trey Lance is very intriguing to me. But I'll take any one of those other guys after Trevor Lawrence.
Wiggy, you're waffling all over the place here. Every day it feels like you have a new quarterback.
But I'll take any one of them. Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, or Justin Fields. Any one of them I'll be happy with, and I'd like to see the Patriots move up to get one of those guys. And I believe if they're going to be aggressive and they want to do that, they can do that. And I think Bill has to do that. That's the way you address your quarterback issues.
Unless, as Ken suggested in his lead this morning, mm-hmm. that Jimmy G is his guy and there's a deal imminent there before the end of this week.
He's going to get traded. Listen to Michael Lombardi. He says there's everything John Lynch is saying you can't buy. He's been too unreliable health-wise. He's making too much money. Bonta Hill joined Ken and Curtis this weekend from our sister station out there. 70% of the Niners fans want him out. So they're going to flip him, even if it's Sam Darnold. They're going to go a different direction, and that's great for Bill. He's going to swoop in with maybe a second-round pick and get Jimmy G back here. That is the dream scenario.
But if they don't get Jimmy G, this is going to be a Cam Newton. I think it's either they get Jimmy G or Cam Newton starting week one. That's how I feel.
Is your guess that Bill is all in on Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, definitely.
Because of the experience that
that
he
would be stupid, though. That would disappoint me if Belichick went the Jimmy Garoppolo route. Very disappointed. And I think all Pats fans should be disappointed if he goes the Jimmy Garoppolo route.
All right, poll question.
Breaking.
Would you be disappointed if the Patriots brought back Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, because he should be going after one.
Why don't you go Jimmy Garoppolo or draft a QB?
Okay.
But that's it. And it should be one of those guys. I don't want to bring back a guy who's injury prone, who has shown when he has the opportunity, he's not like, I wouldn't even say he's a, what's he, top 15 at best when he's healthy as far as quarterback?
He just took that team to a Super Bowl.
No, that team was loaded on defense. He was a game manager in that Super Bowl.
They were losers before Jimmy G got in there. He won his final five games. Then the next year he got hurt.
Yep.
And the next year, a year removed from an ACL tear. When you
mm-hmm.
say
yep.
you have to wait like 5 years, he got the team to the Super Bowl, was one overthrow away from winning that game.
Right, but look at his numbers. Look at this number,
Wiggy. Since 2017, the Niners record with him, 22-8.
I know that.
Without him, 7-27.
I know.
What does that tell you?
It tells me that he is a good game manager at quarterback. Go back and look to
whatever you want to call him. He wins. That's great. Bring a game manager in.
Look at that season that they had with Jimmy G when they went to the Super Bowl. Their defense was the number one ranked defense in the NFL.
Well, then why didn't they win with the other quarterbacks?
And they ran the ball well because they lost Joey Bosa, got hurt, their stud player. They had some injuries. George Kittle got hurt. They had a lot of injuries that affected them. When Jimmy G was there, he was a good game manager. I don't want a game manager when I can move up a couple spots and get a kid like Trey Lance that could be a top 10 quarterback.
Could be. What are the odds of him succeeding?
But is Bill going to move up and use a premium pick on a quarterback? Is it in his nature to do that?
No. You know the answer to that. No.
No.
Wiggy, how can you talk about injury prone when it comes to Jimmy G and yet you say you love Cam Newton? Who's more injury prone than Cam Newton?
Because if you look at Cam Newton, had one season where he missed.
He said he has no arm.
No. But we're not talking about Cam Newton here. We're talking about Jimmy G.
I know. I'm just explaining to you that there's fraudulence on your end. You don't want someone who's injury prone, yet you want to bring back the guy who throws it at people's feet and has one arm.
If you look at
Kurt Doggy.
If you look at the number of games that they played, Cam really wasn't an injury prone quarterback. Throughout his whole career, he played in, 14, 15, 16 mm-hmm. games except for one season. When you look at what I'm saying with Jimmy G, who's been in San Francisco for 3.5 years.
Cam Newton hasn't played 16 games in a season since 2017.
Go through his seasons, Curtis. He had one season. That was a season where he missed two games, where he only played two games. And the year prior to that, he played in 14 games, I believe.
Right. So
and
then he hasn't played in 16 games since 2017.
And then the year before that, 15, 16, Jimmy G.
Do quarterbacks generally get more healthy as they age or less?
But we're not talking about Cam Newton. I'm talking about the young guy and Trey Lance versus Jimmy Garoppolo. I would much rather have Trey Lance and potentially having a guy that could be my franchise quarterback for the next 10, 12, 13 years versus an injury-prone Jimmy Garoppolo.
This is Fran from Boston. What's up, Fran?
Yo, man, good morning. How are you guys?
How are you?
Hey, Wiggy, did you get the cheerleading outfit that Cam sent you last week, the new size Cam? I mean, come on.
But, Fran, I'm not on the Cam boat. We're talking about Trey Lance. Do you want Jimmy?
I agree with you. No, I agree with you. Then you should stick to that talking point only.
That's what I'm saying.
But you're talking about not bringing back Garoppolo, but all for the last month and a half you've been talking about bringing Cam back.
But
I mean, it makes no sense. Cam cannot throw a football.
Fran, Cam is...
Listen.
If you bring Cam back, that means you drafted Trey Lance. If you bring Jimmy Garoppolo in here, you did not draft one of those guys. That's all I'm saying. So if you're telling me I have Cam and Trey Lance or Cam and Justin Fields or Cam and Zach Wilson, I would much rather have that than just Jimmy Garoppolo.
What about Jimmy G and, though? Why can't you have Jimmy G and?
Because you're not going to do it because Jimmy G now becomes a problem because he's only 27 years old. He's not a Band-Aid quarterback. He becomes a reclamation project quarterback. And can we get Jimmy?
How is he a reclamation
when he was at the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Look at Jimmy G.
The guy who wants Cam Newton doesn't want reclamation projects.
Jimmy G. This is Jimmy G. He's played in his whole career. He's had one season where he played in 16 games, and the rest of his games, he played in 7 or less games every single year. He had one good season where San Francisco was one of the best teams in football. Their defense was the number one ranked defense in the National Football League. And when you looked at Jimmy G, they never threw the ball deep downfield. It was quick screens and getting in the guys that can make plays, and they ran the ball well that year.
My guess is that is exactly who Bill wants. That is my guess. I mean, he wanted him over Tom Brady. Why wouldn't he want him now?
And he'd be wrong for doing that.
Well, you could do both, Greg. You're totally right. If Fields falls to 15 and they've already traded for Jimmy G, you could take Fields. Jimmy G has 2 years left on his contract. You could pay him $24 million for 2 years and then groom the next guy if he works out.
Even with that audio we heard, the likelihood of one of those guys falling to 15 is very slim. Because with that audio, he said that the Pats would have to trade up a little bit to get that.
Yeah, I guess maybe a little bit.
Yeah, like 15 to 13, right. Not to 4 or 5.
Well, no. But I think you probably might have to even get up a because if say San Francisco is out on Jimmy G,
which they probably are.
Right. But who's their quarterback? Are they now going to trade up and get one of those guys?
No, they're going to be getting someone, whether it be Sam Darnold, somebody
or
the trade
Cousins
for.
Or Deshaun, or maybe Deshaun.
Okay, so if they're getting one of those guys, but the likelihood of them getting Deshaun Watson?
But it's one of them. It doesn't have to be Deshaun. They're going to trade for a ready quarterback because they believe their defense is ready to contend.
So you're telling me that the San Francisco 49ers would rather have Sam Darnold than Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes.
I'd rather have Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, they are making changes because they don't trust that he will stay healthy.
So it's the health issue. The only two guys that you would go after if you're San Francisco would be Deshaun Watson and Kirk Cousins because they like Kirk Cousins. But you're probably not getting Kirk Cousins.
But why wouldn't you draft if you're Bill Belichick and let's say Justin Fields falls to 12, so you trade a second-round pick in 2022 mm-hmm. and you get Justin Fields. Why wouldn't you do that?
I would do that.
They probably will too.
Hold on a second. Bob from Quincy is on the phone. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Why is no one talking about Jared Stidham?
Bob,
yes.
Quick question. Do you know what Wiggy has when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo?
I know I'm about to be dumped.
Hang-ups. He has hang-ups. Nice try. Nice try. Thank you.
Bob. Think outside the box, Scott. Jeez. Bob.
He has some issues, you know.
At least he remembered the fake name.
That's true. That's a very good point, Curtis.
Bob from Quincy. He's got to get up earlier in the morning to fool us.
Yeah, he's been up since 3.
He was in this, I got tagged at some point on Twitter this guy and Scott were going at it, and he was talking about all the women he's been with.
Scott
and I was
from Weymouth was?
I had to shower immediately.
Yeah. In a holding cell?
I mean, he cannot accept the lifetime ban.
No. My longest relationship is 12 days.
And there's no chance as of the foreseeable future.
I don't know. Do you miss him?
No. But he could use 12 steps.
Do people miss him? I don't think. Do people miss Scott from Weymouth? You hear him call in as Bob from Quincy or...
I don't know.
To Dave from Lawrence.
I think the people that miss him, it's like a Schadenfreude thing because they just want to laugh at his misery and his being upset
funny.
In his life.
Am I in the ass though?
It's a good laugh.
Nope.
All right. And his mama.
We have got to get to Ken and what is trending this morning.
Drive home with OMF weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
With so much to love, you don't want to miss the Subaru of New England A Lot to Love event. Find your authorized retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com.
Speaking as Danielle was of Schadenfreude.
Yes.
Is there better Schadenfreude if Bill is able to win a Super Bowl with Jimmy G and throw that into the face of the TB12 organization?
That would be advantage Belichick.
Cue the OJ meme.
All these people who thought he was injury prone, can't win with him, he was a bust, all he did was throw short, and Bill takes him to a Super Bowl and wins.
Oh. Bill finally gets the quarterback that he wanted, the guy he wanted over Tom Brady, and he's able to win a Super Bowl with him. Is that better?
Yep. And then Brady, who locked him out of TB12, Jimmy G would have been great if Brady had just supported him a little bit. So true, Greg. NFL free agency.
He won the
next
Super Bowl
week.
This year.
Ancient history. Mike Silver of NFL Network says Zach Ertz could be traded any day. 3-time Pro Bowl tight end wing. Should they go after him or free agency with Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, some of those guys? Pats need a tight end, obviously.
I like the Zach Ertz. I like those guys that you could probably get on a 1-year deal and then go after the wide receiver.
Not a 1-year deal for Ertz. I mean, he's 30. He wants a blockbuster.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's going to get a blockbuster based off of the year he had. So he might need to do one of those deals where it's like, you know what, I have to prove it to you type of deal.
What's his contract? I've looked that up. Obviously, a trade for him. But that's next week. Obviously, the trend over the weekend. Bruins lost, shutout 1-0. The bigger news Friday night, Greg, the Brandon Carlo hit from Tom Wilson. He's going to be out for a while. I mean, that's such a dangerous hit. Who knows? He could be out for the whole year.
We talked about this earlier, but Wilson should be out. If he's not going to be out of the NHL for good, then he ought to be out for as long as Carlo is out for. Yep. I mean, it's ridiculous. His Lat Maria pointed this out. This is his fifth suspension. Last one was for 20 games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
and he gets seven measly games?
Yeah, that don't
for
make
head
sense.
Hunting like that?
Don't make sense. You got less than your last suspension.
Great tweet from PJ Stock, who points out if this was Crosby that got hit, would it only have been seven games?
No.
It would have been like 30.
Yeah.
Or if it was Bergeron?
Yeah, maybe that too.
LB.
Hey, Ken.
Bruins Islanders tomorrow. And we're worried about Tuukka Rask as well, right after his history. Grabbing from the back.
Yeah, you're saying it like, yeah. Did you see him skating off the ice?
If he needs time off, then I guess it will be okay to worry. Let's wait until we see what is going to happen.
Greg was at the appetizer table when that happened.
Let's see what's going to happen.
You're optimistic, bro.
Wiggy didn't watch the All-Star game, but I bet you there were some that did. It was Jaylen Brown against Jason Tatum. They went one-on-one. Brown scored 22, his team won, and he took Tatum to the rack, Wiggy, and got fouled. Those two were going back and forth after the game.
I guess you got bragging rights on Jason the rest of the season?
Yeah, we got the win. You know, we definitely got the win. He fouled me when he was on me. You know, we knew how that was going to go. So I'll take the win. We got a nice cash prize, too. I don't know if it's for charity or whatever, but, you know, Jason fouled me, of course.
In his hometown of Atlanta, which Wiggy said was crazy.
Yeah, it was wild. It was wild in the streets, man.
In the streets, in the clubs.
Oh, everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Celtics-Nets Thursday when they return to play. Red Sox day off today, Greg. No baseball today. A tough day. But they'll get back to it tomorrow.
Garrett, wellness check on Joe. How's he doing?
Yeah, we need an update from Joe. Should we get him to check in about the chip?
Yeah.
Chip
Why
gate.
Not?
All right, I'll see if Joe can call in. Because Bradfoe, if you missed it, tried to poison him with these crab chips.
I know. What the hell? How is he skating on this?
I don't know. That's what's trending on the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
You'll say we've got nothing in common. No common ground to start from. And we're falling apart. You'll say the world has come between us. Our lives have come between us. Still I know you just don't care. And I said, what about breakfast to Tiffany? She said, I think I remember.
Is the song okay? I know we discussed earlier that the film Breakfast at Tiffany's is now troublesome, Ken. Draw your blinds if you're going to watch that. You don't want your neighbors to see and call 311.
And why was that again? I don't know if we ever figured out.
Why are they putting the warning on that, Danielle? Did you ever get to the bottom of that?
Let me find out that movie specifically.
What's wrong with it?
Hold on a second.
Tiffany's is too expensive for most Americans.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it is. It's wealth shaming or something like that, whatever it is.
I bought a bracelet. Actually, my dad bought a bracelet from there when I was in high school. And they were like,
for you?
Yeah, no. for my girlfriend at the time, now wife. But so it was a heart with the silver locks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, if you want, we can engrave whatever you want on there. So I engraved and I put the date on the back. The engraving was $500. The bracelet was $400.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how they get you, Curtis.
Yep.
That's how they get you.
Mm-hmm. The reason for that particular warning with Breakfast at Tiffany's is Mickey Rooney's portrayal of Mr. Yuniyoshi. So they say it's he's playing a garish Asian stereotype. So why that warning is there.
Oh, okay. All
right. So there will be a warning on it going forward on Turner.
Correct.
Right. Let's see. 678 texter says that my Wilson should be out for as long as Carlo is. Take is the worst take in sports history.
I love that take. I think it's great.
Well, they're saying Carlo's week to week. So what if he's back in 2 weeks?
It really is a dumb take.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you should be penalizing the behavior. You shouldn't rely on a negative outcome. To right. further penalize.
Well, put it this way, he shouldn't be back before Carlo.
No.
Out indefinitely until Carlo's return.
No, you just give him a number. You got 20 games last time, right? And then you say,
It's his fifth suspension. The guy should be out of the league.
Okay, but that's a different argument.
They're all, yeah, okay, fine. We talked about that earlier. It's the fifth time. It's all headhunting every time.
Look what happened in 2016. He had a hit on John Moore, who now I think plays for the Bees, but was with the Devils at the time. They didn't call a penalty on it. They didn't call anything. Moore was out for 17 games. He got carried off the ice on a stretcher. Like, come on.
But I think, Danielle, they have to have it in place, right? Your first suspension is X amount of games. Second is this. And then when
should be graduated.
Right. And then when you get to your fifth suspension, you should know exactly what that number is. You can't just say, all right, well, we're going to look at the hit and based on how violent the hit was.
That's the same thing the NFL does. Vontaze Burfict has had random suspensions, some 12.
And that's why we criticize the commissioner of the NFL. Because then the other thing is, Greg, is – not only the suspension is not just about the hit, but it's also about the injury. If Kahlo kind of bounces up, does he even get suspended?
Well, but that's the point. They didn't even make the call. Or look at Ovechkin, what he got away with.
Right, but I think an example that will make sense to many people is that in the NFL, you no longer can hit the quarterback below the knee or in the head. And anything that is anywhere near a movement by the defensive player to hit towards the head of the quarterback is an immediate flag. That flag is not because that quarterback was just in danger. It's so that players learn that behavior is wrong, and they stop doing it because they need to protect the quarterback. So in this case, you should be protecting players from concussions and everything that you do. So no matter what, whether Kahlo was indeed concussed, if you're going at him with the intent to injure, that should get a big suspension.
Well, we'll get to talk to Cam Neely about this. The president of the Boston Bruins will join us Thursday at 8:20 on this show. This is Joe from Lowell. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Good morning, everybody.
Hey, hello.
I just wanted to touch on what you guys were talking about before the break about Jimmy G and the Patriots draft picks. For what it's worth, I do think if any of the QBs are going to slide, I feel like it is going to be Justin Fields, and I'm not too sold on Fields as a guy who's going to be able to come in, pick it up fairly quickly, and be able to be a starter. But as far as Jimmy G goes, I like Jimmy G, but the one thing that everybody's forgetting, everybody's saying, oh, the 49ers are out on Jimmy G. They are not out on Jimmy G. John Lynch said it himself. Until we get until they get Watson, they're not trading Jimmy G, and that's really the only guy that they would be out there going for that would, you know, relinquish him to the Pats if that's what the Pats want to do. Kind of hope that they don't really go that route, but if they did, I wouldn't hate it. But I'll get off. I'll let you guys talk about it and see what you guys think. Thanks.
Well, it's not necessarily true because Sam Darnold is somebody that they're talking about.
Yep. I mean, a lot of people feel like he was in a bad organization and he can be fixed, and he's got all the talent and tools that he did when he was taken a couple years ago.
Yeah, but if you're the 49ers, do you want to run the risk of, okay, if you are this Super Bowl contending type team that you believe you are, do you want to run that risk with a guy that might work out and might not work out, and Sam Darnold? Like, I wouldn't.
Here's the cap savings. If they switch Garoppolo for Darnold, they pick up $19 million in the exchange because Darnold counts $5 million against the cap, and they'd get a draft pick back. So if you're the Niners, would you want a chance at Darnold, who you think can stay healthy at least, $19 million in cap space and a draft pick? That sounds like a win for the Niners to me.
Right, but if you're afraid of Jimmy G's health issues, why would that's the biggest thing for me. If I'm the Patriots, why do I want a guy that I know, based on his 3 years as a starter, cannot stay healthy?
Well, you keep saying that, but I don't know that Bill feels that way.
I think Bill should feel that way.
But, but how does he feel?
I think he feels that way a little bit. I think he feels...
What does a little bit mean?
Meaning that Jimmy G got an opportunity to start in San Francisco, and the first year he got that opportunity, he was hurt. The second year, he played 16 games. The third year,
he made it to the Super Bowl.
Right, but and then the third year,
19 games.
He was hurt.
And a poll question, what should the Patriots do at quarterback? Trade up to get one or trade for Jimmy G? 57% of the respondents over 500 want the Patriots to trade for Jimmy G.
That's stupid. That's just dumb. That's dumb. You could have a chance to have the next Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck type of player, you know, Deshaun Watson.
Do you think that Bill was obsessed with Jimmy G when he was here? So much so that it may have hurt the relationship with Tom Brady?
I think so. Okay. I think he had a little
Jimmy can go out there and run everything that Tom can run.
So why would you guess that that's changed?
Because he's seen that when Jimmy G has been given the opportunity, he can't stay healthy.
Does Bill strike you as a guy, Wiggy, that changed his mind a lot about strong feelings?
Tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us. 49ers are getting a good player. They're getting a good person. And they're getting a great teammate. And they're getting a good quarterback. Jimmy's getting a good coach. His career is moving forward. He's a talented individual and was a great person to coach. I met with him weekly. Again, have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
Listen to that love.
Sounds like mm-hmm. a guy that
Yeah,
he
well,
loves.
I think that's blinded love. Bill gave him an opportunity when Brady was suspended and he got hurt.
Blinded love is you and Cam.
When
that's what Wiggy is most upset about. Is the potential for Cam Newton next season.
It has nothing to do with Cam Newton. No, it doesn't.
It has
Greg,
everything to do
you
with
could,
that.
Listen, you could bring, you know, quarterback X.
Oh, come on. You couldn't think of one quarterback?
Well, whoever quarterback X is. Maybe Tyrod Taylor, you know, what's his name?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick. Any, you know,
Gardner Minshew.
Colt McCoy. Gardner Minshew.
Mitch Trubisky.
I don't – no, because Trubisky, I don't want him.
Patrick's Mahomes.
I want the Patriots to go after one of the quarterbacks that could be the next Watson, the next Mahomes, potentially. That's what I want.
There is far more likelihood that Jimmy Garoppolo will be better than three of the four quarterbacks that go in the draft.
But
that's what happens. Look at the draft picks. A couple years ago, number one pick was Winston. Number two was Mariota. This is by no means
No, it's not an exact science.
You think Baker Mayfield should be the first pick in the draft? Would you want him there?
But it's not an exact science, but I look at the upside I get with the players. The potential upside that I can get with one of these quarterbacks is far greater.
What's the upside of Justin Fields?
The upside is you're talking about a quarterback that you can have for the next 10, 12 years and put you in a position.
You think you're going to get the next Patrick Mahomes with the 15th pick in the NFL draft?
Oh, you got to move up a little bit and maybe you could get that.
So those are players that you could use to build your team.
Deshaun Watson went 12th. So why can't I get the next Deshaun Watson if I'm willing to move up three spots?
They should trade back to pick 199 to get the next Brady.
No, but that's what you're looking at. If you're the way everybody has talked about these quarterbacks, and I understand it's a roll of the dice.
But every year they talk about these quarterbacks this way, Wiggy. You know that's what the draft is. People obsess about quarterbacks.
Right, but when you're in a position to get potentially a game franchise-changing quarterback, then you do that.
I think Bill's right in most cases when it comes to these guys and what they end up being. I mean... Like,
so you feel that way about everybody that's drafted in the first round?
No.
So why all of a sudden?
Tell me who you think the closest thing to a sure thing in this draft is quarterback-wise.
There's no sure thing. There is no sure thing, and I understand that in the draft.
Well, it's Trevor Lawrence is the closest thing to a sure thing.
And then everybody else is, meh.
Right.
I don't know. Devontae Smith looked pretty good in college. We're basing these guys off of their potential. That's what the draft is. The same way if you're telling me the Patriots are going to draft Micah Parsons at 15 and everybody's saying, oh,
Micah Brzezinski?
He's going to be the next. Who'd they compare him to, Ken? Was it Devin White?
Devin White, yep.
There's no guarantee he's going to be that. But if I have the opportunity to get somebody that has that upside, then why would I do that rather than go, oh, I want Kyle Van Noy back?
You would do that if you have an obsession with Jimmy Garoppolo, which I think Bill does.
Yep.
They're getting a good person.
I think he does.
And let's go over Bill's.
Who has he ever called a good person? That's like
Aaron Hernandez. 2019 first pick, N'Keal Harry. 2018, mm-hmm. Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel.
Mm-hmm.
2015, Malcolm Brown. 2014, right. Dominique Easley. I mean, you're thinking that that's going to be some surefire next big guy type of signing? I mean, it might be. But Bill Belichick's drafting of late would suggest that you should trade those picks to get a known commodity, which is
Jimmy
G.
Yeah, but if you look at all those picks, those would be the end of the first round. You've never been in a position where it's been a while since Belichick's been in a position where he could trade up potentially to get close or even into the top 10. When's the last time
he's
been
there?
Well,
they had the 23rd pick in 2018. They could have traded the Sony Michel pick to move up in the first round.
Right, but not to get to, you know, they'd have to move up a lot to get to top 10. You're in a position where you're only five spots away from potentially getting to the top 10. So
why would you trade assets with a team that needs as many talented players as possible in order to get a guy that is an unknown?
Well, because if the unknown that I potentially could get could be this all-pro caliber player, if that means trading up to get a Kyle Pitts.
So who's going to be an all-pro? Oh, you mean a tight end?
Well, no, I'm saying, or if that means a quarterback who could be Justin Fields.
So you think Justin Fields could be an all-pro NFL quarterback?
He has the talent. Okay.
This is Nate. Hello, Nate.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Nate?
Hey, Wiggy, I'm with you, my man. You got to look at it this way, right? I mean, this QB draft is deep. So if you have that guy and you target that guy, you got to move up and get him. Speaking, you know, back in the 2018 draft, rumor was that the Patriots going to offer 5 to 6 first-round picks to move up to get the Baker Mayfield. If you target that guy, go after him.
Right.
They're in a position right now, they need that franchise quarterback. You know that. We know that. Patriots fans know that. They got to go up and get him.
Right, and they were in love with Baker Mayfield. And if you feel like one of these guys, and everybody's talking about this draft, having five guys that potentially could go in the first round and in the top 15, why not do that when you need a quarterback and you know that you have enough assets to get you in a position to potentially get one of those guys? Maybe not get Zach Wilson. And if Zach Wilson's your guy and you feel like you can't get him, okay.
But great.
I guess if your backup plan is, let's say the Bills' backup plan is Cam Newton, then maybe he does. But otherwise, I think that he's got to be feeling some pressure to be competitive in a relatively quick period of time.
And he's already connected to Jimmy G. Everybody knows that was his plan to replace Brady. So, Greg, if given the opportunity, Belichick, to get Jimmy G back and stick it to Brady and all the doubters, as opposed to taking a gamble on a young guy, he's emotional like the rest of us. He's vested in Garoppolo. He is going to go that route if given the choice.
But the problem you run into is you say you do go get Jimmy G, and he does what we know he does, and he gets hurt, and now you're stuck anyways, and you're looking, you know, you're looking to try to figure out what the quarterback situation is, and then he's only has 1 year left on his deal, so now you're right back in the draft next year, and who knows what next year's draft class is going
to
look like.
Did you miss any games due to injury? I mean, you play this game. You know how fierce it is out there. For you to call a guy injury-prone, it's so disrespectful.
But it's not disrespectful. It's true.
He had a couple injuries. Did you ever miss a game to injury?
I missed one game to injury.
Okay, were you injury prone because of that?
No, but when you start to miss consistent seasons over and missing games.
Okay, Brady missed the whole year with a knee injury.
And you don't have to miss games when you have diarrhea of the mouth.
It seems unfair to call him injury prone.
How is it unfair?
So unfair.
Didn't we call Gronkowski injury prone when you look at the number of games that he played in throughout his career?
Well, that's a good tag. I mean, all he did was come back and win a Super Bowl.
Right?
How dumb was that?
We talked about Brady and his durability. Mm-hmm. Brady had one season where he got hurt. Then after.
You're making my point. That's a dumb tag then.
How, when you
guys,
look, Jimmy G has had 3 years as a starter in San Francisco, and he was only able to get one season where he completed the whole year. The other 2 years, he got hurt.
Okay, a lot of guys have missed 2 years of their pro football career.
So show me a guy who's missed two of their 3 years as a starter, and I'm going to tell you that guy is injury prone.
Two Cam of their Newton. First 3 years?
Well, I don't care. If you're going to compare it, this is two of their 3 years as a starter. Jimmy G has had 3 years to start. Three legitimate years to be a starter. 2017, 18, and 19.
Oh, Wiggins misses practice with knee injury.
Uh-oh.
Knee issue.
Well, no.
Coach Brad Childress said Wiggy was, quote, a wuss.
No. And I played in the game. So
Wiggins misses practice because he was involved in conversation in locker room.
Jimmy G, 2018, 19.
Yeah, I got you.
And
we
20.
Understand.
So how do you not say, how do you, it's hard to explain.
Because you cannot explain away Bill's obsession and love affair with the guy. That's why.
Do you think he's injury prone?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
You act like he's,
I just
like
asked
he's made
the question.
Of glass. No, he's fragile.
Wiggy sidelined with turf toe.
No, I asked the question.
Yeah. Greg partied with him in Miami a couple months ago. He
seemed to be fine.
Totally fine.
Seemed fine. All right.
Wiggy's larynx bothered.
Listen, I'm trying to have a really good conversation about Jimmy Garoppolo sports.
We got you.
You guys are joking about it.
This is Donna. Hello, Donna.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, my God, I'm so psyched to be on the air. I wanted to call and personally thank you. I received a grant from your restaurant, Strong Foundation, recently.
Don't thank me. Thank the people who gave.
If anyone hears me who contributed over the years, I thank you. I've been in the restaurant industry for 30 years. I work for a family-owned restaurant in Abington for 25. I was out of work for the first time in my life for those 3 months, and we shut down in January and February as well.
Well, I'm glad you got it. I'm glad you got a check, and I hope you're able to put it to good use.
I will, and I appreciate all that you do. My boyfriend turned me on to you guys a few years ago when you were AAF, and we've been to a couple of jingle runs over the years, and awesome. We were going to do it in New Hampshire this year, and we couldn't, and we did the Bear Fest in Wachusett, so I try to contribute as well to everyone who can, you know, needs. I like to give and then take, but I really appreciate all that you do. I love listening to your show.
All right, Donna.
I talked to you back in Maynard, too, a couple of years ago, so I just appreciate your show. I align with everything you say and all that you do, and I really love the station. So thank you again.
All right. Do you feel like Jimmy G is injury prone, Donna?
You know what? Wiggy needs to, like, take a breath once in a while. But,
I can't.
All right.
On one will hear my voice.
On that note, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Yo, give it up.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. On WEEI.
Rumors spread around in that Texas town about the Shaq outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
The show, were you paying attention? If you can answer a question about today's show, then you will win a WEEI pen. Later in the week, Kim Neely will join us on Thursday at 8:20 and David Ortiz on Friday at 8:20. And Ken is working hard to get Meghan Markle on the program because he feels horrible about her.
Much excite.
The whole circumstance that she found herself in. She had no idea that she was marrying into royalty.
Greg, are you mocking mental health issues?
No, I am not.
Oh, that's what it sounds like. Better backpedal on that one, buddy.
Listen, I really can't comment because I purposefully did not watch a second of that last night.
Oh, now you didn't watch.
Unlike you.
But you had no problem wading into those waters a second ago.
Well, I found it, when we discussed it earlier this morning, I found it a little bit unbelievable that she didn't Google the prince when she met the prince. I mean, but I guess maybe she doesn't care who she'll date a regular guy. She doesn't care who she's dating. Maybe that's the way it is.
But you were certainly aware of the royals.
Of course.
And if you're going to marry a royal, then you would do research about what that would mean.
Well, I didn't do any research about what that would mean.
You didn't do any research?
No. I've never looked up my husband online.
Oh.
I just didn't feel a need to because everything that I needed to know, he was sharing with me, right? Everything that we thought I needed to know, he was telling me.
Right. I had no idea that no idea that my wedding would be watched by 20 million people. No
million?
Idea.
That was 3 billion. I'm serious. It was like
it wasn't.
Yes, billion.
Meredith from The Office was there.
It was in the billions?
I believe so.
Wow.
It's
so crazy in England. People that are otherwise smart and normal people have this like weird obsession with the royal family there. It's bizarre. I don't know. I just think it's crazy.
It's their history, right? So, I mean, you're talking about generations that have essentially been their royal subjects.
And one thing that'll make Meghan Markle's point is that Linda Pizzuti just now found out that John Henry owned the Red Sox.
Stop it. Stop it. Yeah. 29.19 million viewers tuned in for that wedding.
Well, online.
A little low there, Curtis.
It was on TV.
You said billion. It was 29 million. You're a little bit off.
That's online, you idiot.
It's still an awful lot of people. It's still an awful lot of people. And I think she knew. I mean, maybe she didn't know everything that was going to come with the job of princess, but she knew some of the things that were going to come with the job
of princess. I don't think she had any idea what it was going to be like to deal with the tabloid situation out there. I really
don't think so?
No, I don't think she... I think she probably was like, oh, okay, yeah, the tabloids, whatever. I don't think until you're in it, until you're out there... being here, we cannot even fathom what it's like. The stuff that comes out, the stuff that's talked about, it's just... It's a whole thing over there. Across the pond, as you say.
Okay, but the millions and millions of dollars that you have access to...
It doesn't make up for it, dude. It doesn't make up for it. It doesn't. It's quality of life issue. For a lot of people, yeah, that's great to be like, oh, look, I have all this money. You're miserable every day. You're being attacked by the press every day. It sucks. Every move you make is scrutinized. You're essentially a prisoner in the palace. I would not sign up for that life in a million years.
Really?
Yep. No way. No amount of money. It is all about quality of life. I'm a very private person. I wouldn't want to deal with that nonsense. It's very easy for people to be like, yeah, oh, sure, you wouldn't turn down that much money. Yeah, the money looks great, mm-hmm. but to live that life, it's not worth it.
But wasn't she trying to be an actress before?
Yeah.
She was an actress.
Right. She was in Suits, Wiggy.
And she held suitcases.
So she probably wanted to maybe get some of that, you know, celebrity... but I guess it's probably more of...
She might want to have had...
No. But it might be... It's got to be different. Danielle brings up a good point. Out there, it's completely different in what what they're doing inside that royal palace.
Did she
palace.
Not know who Diana was? Harry's mom?
No, she does. But it's the difference between Kim Kardashian and the Kardashian, a celebrity in America, versus being...
Right, I'm asking,
a celebrity
do you think she knew the story surrounding Princess Diana?
Probably not.
Okay, I think she did. And by the way, their TV ratings, in England there were 23 million, in the U.S. there was 30 million. So those are just two countries.
The Princess Diana stuff happened. How long ago that happened?
How many countries are there, Ken, in the world?
How long ago the Princess Di stuff happened?
There were
occurs?
A billion people in Ghana watching.
1997.
Seven is when she passed.
Right. So how old is this girl? I mean, she's
39.
I mean, maybe she might have known and heard about it, but she might have not have been into it like that.
What?
She comes off great. If you watch the whole 2 hours, they both come off sympathetic figures. Obviously, that's the way Oprah responded, I guess, but...
Sympathetic? How?
She went over there, and they stifled her. She was stuck in the palace. Her son was not going to be allowed to be a prince because of the skin color. There were racist undertones, I guess, to what they were telling Harry. She had mental problems. She went to ask for help. They said, this is the way it is. Deal with it. She wanted to commit suicide. And Harry felt there was nothing, no other, he had to get her out of there because she was going to kill herself.
Yeah, I could see that.
And they did nothing about it.
And what was, and I'm asking, you know, serious question, what was difficult about it?
Really?
What?
I mean, I could see why
you would
she's
not want
issues.
To live a life like that.
Yeah,
you
that
wouldn't.
Would be crazy.
You wouldn't. You have no concept of how invasive and how controlling that life is. But, it's horrendous.
But my question is that she was pursuing this life.
She was pursuing a relationship with Harry. They kept their relationship very, very quiet at first until the press wound up finding out about it, and then it went all over the place.
Well,
you can know that something comes along with a person and still think it's manageable. Then once you get into it, it's an absolute S show.
Well, hasn't she been seeking fame?
But the American fame is different than what Danielle's talking about, UK fame. To be Kim Kardashian and not have to live in a home where you feel like you're a prisoner, but you're in the spotlight is completely different than being, you know, and I don't know, I've never been over there, but it seems like those people are viewed, and when I say those people, like royal people, it's completely different, the stardom that they have, than what it would be just to be a famous person like Beyonce or Kim Kardashian in America.
I know that.
So she probably
it's not
wanted.
Like they're not handing autographed 8x10s out at the Meridian Market.
No, I mean,
three people lined up for
those. She probably would rather that and all the stuff that comes with being an American, you know, superstar and all the stardom there versus, you know, being in a, like they all say, is basically a luxury royal prison.
Fame as an actress in the United States of America is not even close to relatable to fame as a member of the royal family in the UK. They're two completely different animals.
She didn't grasp that when she was marrying a prince?
I don't think she had any idea how bad it was going to be. I really don't think she knew.
And breaking news, according to the Economic Times in London, 1.9 billion worldwide watched the marriage. Thank you.
And I think the other thing, Greg, I think the thing that probably got her more is probably more of how they treated her along the race issues than just the paparazzi and that kind of stuff. I bet it was more of that which bothered her that she probably wasn't prepared for. You know, she probably thought maybe they're going to take me in and welcome me with open arms.
No, they looked at her as an extreme outsider. They gave some courtesies to her mother at the wedding to make it look like everything was nice. You think Doria Ragland is hanging out with the rest of the royal family now? No. Right. Come on.
How do you want me to print it, Ken? It's right here.
Print screen. Copy link. Control P, Control V.
And when she said that, I just saw
No Money Chanel.
And I just saw and I saw the audio of her basically saying about her baby being, you know, what they
Ken
had
was
concerns.
So dismissive of me there. That was really hurtful. And I was right the whole time.
You were right the whole time, Ken.
I haven't seen it.
On the printer, numbnuts.
Easy.
What, Wiggy?
No, I was saying the audio that I heard, that was kind of cringeworthy when.
We have that audio. Ken, you want to play that audio?
I'm sorry, which audio?
Where she talks about somebody in the royal family who is concerned about
the dark skin of her baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
What?
And
who is having that conversation with you? What?
So,
there is a conversation. Hold up.
There are several conversations.
There's a conversation with you.
With Harry.
About how dark your baby is going to be?
Potentially, and what that would mean or look like.
Ooh. And you're not going to tell me who had the conversation?
I think that would be very damaging to them.
Okay.
Like that as a parent. You know,
wait a second. Why doesn't she say who it is?
Because she's probably gonna have to deal with so much retaliation. Oh. Like you don't want to talk about stuff like this because it's very uncomfortable. You know, even though
it doesn't matter,
Curtis. When it comes to answering this question, even though the other person is in the wrong, you don't want to call them out because it causes more problems for you. So you strike a balance and you deal with it.
What
was
the purpose then, Danielle, of having Oprah come over to their house and then spend 2 hours ripping the people they no longer live with? What was
because
the
there are certain things she's probably willing to discuss in detail and certain things she doesn't want to go into detail about, like the identity of the person who brought up the baby's skin color.
But then everybody in the royal family now has looked differently. Is that the racist who said those things to her instead of her just saying the person
who did it? Do you think that maybe people already had a bit of an eye on the royal family that they were trying to protect a color of their bloodline as it was?
I'm guessing maybe yes. I had no idea. I don't follow it that
I'm
closely.
I'm guessing, yeah. I don't think that you need to follow it closely to kind of have that thought about it.
So she has no responsibility to give actual evidence behind claims that she's giving to Oprah on national TV. And she's just sitting there. Listen, I think the royal family suck. I don't care if they all go away. They're inbred, they're weird, they're annoying. I'm not defending them. But my point is simple, that you can't be a victim of a lifestyle you sought.
The lifestyle is different than there are people here that are concerned about the skin color of my baby.
Didn't happen in Coming to America. Welcomed the outsiders.
Well, because they the outsiders
you can't
all
talk
look
about
like
it
them.
After you get your refund.
They all look like them, besides a white person in the movie. But
yeah, I don't know.
But to think
it
about
seems a weird flex if you were horrified by the public attention you got, it seems a weird flex to go on Oprah and do a $9 million interview that everybody's going to be watching.
I mean, my guess is they have Wi-Fi at the $14 million mansion, and they could Zoom whoever they want to talk to in the royal family in England.
Yeah.
It would seem like a pretty easy thing to do. But she decided she wanted to do this to smear the entire family with Oprah, which is fine. But don't say that she's then withholding the name because she doesn't want retaliation. I mean, she was negative about everything.
All right, we got to take a break. We will be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.